Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening. Happy Easter. Welcome to April. You survived spring break. Oh, wait. I survived spring break.
I was going to say, I was here getting all of the wonderful visitors.
Oh, good. Was it a good spring break?
It was.
Yeah.
And it's always, I do like how it's staggered. Mm-hmm. So, like, the first week, true, it was like, why are there all these people from Idaho? Oh, it's families. It's spring break. And then, you know, Oregon is split up. It's not all of Oregon at once. And parts of Washington. So it's kind of nice. It's like a 3-week thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, kind of gets us ready. The trolley was out.
And the river cruises have started.
Yeah. Back to normal.
It's back to normal. And of course, April, you know what that brings.
What does it bring? April flowers.
In a roundabout way, our curator at the Historical Society plays an April Fool's joke every year. And in the Flavel House for the month of April, there are things that are way out of the time period in each room.
Okay.
It's a fun scavenger hunt.
Way out of the time period.
Well, sometimes it's kind of close.
Okay.
But they're really obvious if you look.
Okay.
And people of all ages have fun. And for some of us older people, it's actually like part of our lives that are there on exhibit. Like, why is that in this room? That was something I had as a kid.
Oh, how funny. So okay.
It's fun, though. And what always amuses me is when some visitors somehow don't pick up, even though my volunteers and staff, we tell them that this is going on. And then they'll get a little huffy with, you know, I think it's just horrible that you let that modern item be in that room.
I could totally see that.
And we're like, yes, it's a fun scavenger hunt for the month of April.
This is the one time of year we can do it. But we also have a guest today.
We do.
Jason Boyd, the assistant principal from Seaside High School. Thanks for being here.
It's awesome to be part of the show.
We're going
to
talk about you. We're going to talk about high school. We're going to talk about sports.
And he wears many hats because before we went on the air, we had what could have, I should have started the recording.
I know.
And then like put it in the archives or something.
Talked about all the things. Well, we'll get there.
All right. So, and you had a wonderful spring break.
We'll talk about it a little bit more because we did the first Disney trip with my girls.
I know. That's
which
what
Jason
say.
Also knows about because one of his girls works at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
On Main Street. Wow. College degree. And then she got a job working at Disney.
Yeah. She's a lead for the Main Street vehicles and also is a Jungle Cruise skipper and a GSO lead. So she's got 3 opportunities to get hours and be in the park all the time. Loves it.
Your dream. The dream.
And is it the dream job of I'm staying there forever or this is a great 5 or 10 years?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know. You know, kids grow and change, but when she was a 7th grader, had this plan of being the CEO of Disneyland, didn't want to run everything, but just Disneyland. And she's definitely working towards that that goal or something, you know, about. And so it's really exciting for her to, you know, it's exciting for our kids to dream and then kind of follow those dreams and have setbacks and have roads that they have to make choices and still being that person who wants to hold on to their dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, 23, almost 24, rolling with life and it, really enjoying her time down there.
And what was her degree again?
Corporate Strategic Communications, Chapman University.
Yeah. Of course, you love that a lot.
I do love that. And so I did tell my girls that too. I was like, you know, like there are jobs here where, I mean, you get a college degree to come work here. And of course, my daughter's eyes, they're like, oh, could I be Minnie?
Yes.
And, you know, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah,
they're
and you could do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So her first roommate at Chapman is one of the Tinkerbells.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in the parades and the flyover and stuff. So there's all kinds of people. She actually gave us a little text yesterday and said, I saw so-and-so backstage. It was really, really cool. And so we get these little glimpses of opportunities to kind of live through your child. And it's like, oh, we're fanning out so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love that for 3 reasons. One, I was going to comment, you talk like an educator.
Thanks.
I love that. The life goals and setbacks. And I mean, that was like,
I live a dream.
Yeah.
That was like a commencement speech right there. It was fantastic. And then my second thing, I was going to cut in, but you were on such a good roll when her dream was to run Disney
Land.
Disneyland, yeah.
But she got offered Disney World. She had to turn it down because she wanted Disneyland. Oh. But anyway, that's how my mind works.
Yeah.
And, no, then, and then I know this is going to fail miserably, but I would be remiss if I didn't say it when you said she also got to be on the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Have either one of you ever heard the Weird Al Yankovic song?
No.
Okay. Google it, people. It is funny. He talks about an actor who is not... He was going to be the next, you know, Olivier, and he is just the Jungle Land guy.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny song. So Weird Al Yankovic, the Jungle Cruise.
Sidebar. Thanks for that. Mac. Yeah.
Okay. So since I have the floor, shall I get through the history highlights really fast? Because this is going to be too good of a show for me to completely ruin. All right. So these are the things that happen tomorrow on April 6th. And this one first year that we haven't had like close to the Pony Express date, April 3rd, for me to comment on it.
So you're still commenting on it anyway.
I know. That was my sneaky way of getting it in. Okay. So these are things that happen tomorrow, April 6th, 1772. Good news. The Empress of Russia, Catherine the Great, ends the tax on men with beards.
Oh.
It was enacted by the Tsar Peter the Great in 1698. I like that Peter the Great and then later Catherine the Great.
Right.
So, and somewhere in there was somebody in the middle, I guess.
But we're on radio, so nobody but me knows that both of you have beards.
Yeah. So, 1808, I was almost going to make this. There's a lot that I could have made the highlight.
Okay.
For very selfish reasons. 1808, John Jacob Astor incorporates the American Fur Company.
Yeah. That does benefit all of us.
Yeah. 1830, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is established. Kind of a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1889, George Eastman begins selling Kodak flexible roll film for the first time. Okay. I am old enough. I had in high school a film developing class.
Yeah.
So,
either of you do that in the dark room and the chemicals and all that good stuff?
All the things.
Yeah. We had that at the old Seaside High School up until about 2019.
Oh, so you don't even do it anymore.
I did.
No, it didn't make it in the transfer over to the new building.
Because there's not really a need. Is it? I mean, because there is still a process. I mean, there is still an art process to it.
Kids would still be interested in that enough.
Well, and that's the thing is student interest really drives our course curriculum. And so really focusing on digital media, digital pictures. But Mr. Verhulst has all kinds of different arrays of opportunities for kids to go out and take different types of photos with different mediums. We just can't do any, hard film development at the school.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love 2019. That's fantastic. All right, 1898, the first modern Olympic Games.
Oh, fun.
Back in Athens there. 1917, this was also in the, almost all of these were almost my final one. 1917, the United States officially enters World War I.
Yeah, okay.
We go over there for less than a year, take care of it all.
Right.
1930, looking for a way to keep his company's shortcake baking machinery busy when strawberries are out of season, James Dewar tries injecting one of the cakes with cream filling. He dubs this creation the Twinkie.
Oh, my goodness.
Twinkies.
Yeah, there you go. Because of a strawberry shortage.
Yeah, well, out of season. What am I going to do with this equipment?
Necessity.
And then it's got to be so much cheaper, right, than a product. Exactly. I mean, it's just milk and sugar.
I could buy strawberries, and mix up this cream and shove it in there. So I was thinking, what is the social impact of the Twinkie?
Right.
So I was trying to decide, but I didn't have enough information. So I kept going. 1938, Teflon is invented by American chemist Roy Plunkett at DuPont. Teflon. So that was a big one. 1970, this one wasn't under consideration, but Sam Shepard, a doctor convicted of murdering his pregnant wife in a trial that caused a media frenzy in the 1950s, dies of liver cancer or liver failure. 1970, Sam Shepard, that's when he dies. But the reason we care, his life is supposedly the whole crux of the inspiration for The Fugitive, the TV show and the movie.
Oh.
Because his conviction was overturned.
Okay.
And he said, I was beat up by a guy. It wasn't me.
Oh.
And his teenage son was asleep in the house. And the guy had all kinds of wounds and the police just kind of ignored it.
Okay. Now,
probably not the guy. Probably not the guy. 1980. This one was also in the mix. 1980, post-it notes are invented.
Oh, I love post-it notes.
Again, huge impact, isn't it?
Very
much so. And all the different sizes now. They're fabulous.
I want to know if when the post-it note was invented, if the Scotch tape people were really upset.
It could be true,
you're cutting into our market here.
Unless it's the same company. Who knows? Be.
Yeah. All right. But our history highlight of the day, and I'm open with all the others that I just mentioned to you debating me on this one. But the thing I think had the most impact, 1906, the world's first animated cartoon is released. Humorous Phases of Funny Faces by J. Stuart Blackton. Animation.
Right.
Cartoons.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
They're all good. But yeah, that's good.
It was how many?
No, I mean, we have the Oregon Film Museum. So we love, you know, the movie aspect of Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just the impact of animation on the world and the connections. So yeah, that's a big one.
Since you both have Disney on your mind.
I know. So yes.
You have to agree with me on this one.
We do. We have our guest. So again, it's Jason Boyd. He is the assistant principal at Seaside High School. He's also the president of Seaside Kids Incorporated, among other things. And we're just, we're talking about Disneyland because that's where your daughter works. And but let's talk about you.
Okay.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Seaside, actually.
Okay.
So born in Silverton, Oregon, and my father worked for Crown's Leatherback and a couple years in Molalla, actually, then moved to Cathlamet. And I think about 1976, we moved to Seaside, Oregon, and they were just opening a brand new elementary school, Seaside Heights Elementary. Oh. And I was part of that kindergarten class that got to start in that building.
Oh, how fun.
So kindergarten, you're kind of old enough. Do you remember those other places and remember we're moving to this place called Seaside?
I have a couple of visions of being in Molalla, and that's like up to maybe age 3-ish. I definitely have some memories of living in Cathlamet, riding the, as parents, you let your kids go and do back in the day. And just riding the Fisher Price go-kart that was about 18 inches long and 12 inches wide and had four wheels and a steering wheel on a column, but it didn't turn. You were just supposed to pull it around. Well, I rode it down a driveway into the back of a pickup truck and broke a tooth. Now I remember that. There's, just having member of family coming in, grandmas and grandpas that, aren't here anymore. And, we lived on a golf course and, you start thinking back and you can start to pull more memories. It helps to have pictures
back through
and it's like, oh yeah, and that. But, and I think that's something that, if you have the opportunity to sit down with a family member and you go through some of those things, it's just good for your own brain activity to kind of recess those memories that are cobwebbed over somewhere in the back of your brain, but also to help you create that connection to other folks so that your family lineage and what made you who you are can then be shared with other people so that when I'm gone, someone else will say, oh yeah, I remember Great Grandpa Boyd did this and this and this back in Cathlamet and try to pass stuff along that way.
I remember great commercial for doing oral histories and capturing grandma and grandpa's stories. Love that. I remember reading a story though. That's interesting that you said that taking like on a vacation, it's better to take photos than video. That videos are passive and you're just watching versus the photos that you start thinking about it and picturing like, oh, that was right when this happened versus watching the movie version. You're just like, oh, I'm watching a movie. So for peaking those memories, supposedly photographs are far better.
I agree with that. I love photos.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. But back to you moving to Seaside.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you're one of the first students that, did you know this was a brand new school? Was that exciting or did you really care because it was your school? You're going to school for the first time.
I don't think I really cared. You're just a kindergartner. And so the most exciting thing I think from being a kindergartner at that standpoint, and for those first couple of years is the new school was a patch of woods away from my house. Uh-huh. And so I can vividly remember that our bus driver was very intelligent and said, hey, I will give you a stick of gum at the school if you don't ride the bus today, but you have to beat the bus there and be waiting for me. So
no way.
The bus would take off and the pack of neighborhood boys, we would run through the trails that we made over to the school and we'd be standing there waiting and the driver would pull up. We'd get our gum and go to school. And so she kept this rambunctious group of littles from sitting on the bus and maybe causing problems. And, you know, early on as a youngin, and it was a, you know, good experience. And that trail is actually still there today. It's part of our the city's tsunami movement plan between the hospital, Sunset Hills, mm-hmm. and the school property.
Which there's so many fun trails back behind there.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
So you, hometown boy, did you graduate from Seaside High School then?
So yeah, well, went through and graduated from Seaside High School, and probably like most students, could not wait to get out of here. I just despise the rain. And so I wanted to get somewhere else, moved to, Eastern Oregon and went to school at, in La Grande at Eastern Oregon, which at the time was Eastern Oregon State College. It's now Eastern Oregon University. And in the wintertime, I was a ski racer. We used to travel all over the Pacific Northwest and do races and things as a high school kid and a little bit younger. And so trying to find a place to go and be able to ski, in college was my big focus. And there were only two places really in Oregon that had funded teams at that time. And that was Central Oregon Community College, which would have been a great place to go, but all those kids were right off the US national team.
Oh my gosh.
going back to school. So that was not going to be an option for me. I was not that good. So I went to Eastern and skied for 4 years there racing. And then I helped coach as an assistant for two, ended up with a history degree, and was like, well, am I going to go be a lawyer? Am I going to go teach? I'm not sure. So I ended up getting my secondary minor in education and started applying with felt like 4 million other social studies, recent graduates trying to find a position. And, the superintendent at the time, Harold Riggin, said, hey, we have this driver's ed position that is opening up. The person is leaving, you know, why don't you send in a letter and apply? And they gave me the job. And that was July 6, 1993. And I actually taught the behind the wheel at Seaside, Warrenton, and Astoria.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Shared me for the year. And then that was a time where the simulator, so kids would practice driving. You know, the old, you talk about film, 16 millimeter reel to reel, put it on there, and the kids would sit behind the 1960s steering wheel and turn. And if they didn't turn correctly, the light would come on red.
Oh my gosh.
They had to try to keep it green all the time.
Did you have the car though, too? You know, where that had the brake?
Oh, yeah. So we'd do the simulator, and then I'd do the behind the wheel in the car. And so I did that for a few years.
So I have to ask,
yeah,
any accidents?
We had one, and you already mentioned, kind of that family on air, so I'm not going to go into any, but no one was injured and yeah, I'm not going to tell you, but it was just, we backed into a stop sign. So it wasn't anything major. But you really started to get an appreciation for kids that rode a bicycle as a child, because they could spatially be moving and understand that, yes, there's a turn coming up. I can't just wait to get there and then take a right or a left. It just doesn't happen. And that became one of the first questions. So have you ever ridden a bike before? No, I haven't. Okay, we're going to go to actually just south of here with where the hospital is or where the old fairgrounds used to be. And we would drive around in the old fairgrounds where the pool's at now. And, you've ridden a bike before? Okay, great. Let's go. We'll go some other places. We can start moving around. So did Amazing. That for a couple of years. Got hired as the head volleyball coach at Seaside in 94. So that was pretty quick after getting there. And then in 96, I became a full-time social studies teacher at the high school and did that for about 13 years. And then looking for a change in, I don't know if, maybe subconsciously, you know, kind of just looking for something to keep the creative juices flowing and keep your career going. It seemed like about every 10 or 12 years I changed to something else. And I think it's really gotten me to a great spot where I don't feel burned out after this is my 33rd year in education. And I still feel like the high school. So I taught a little bit and then did all the athletic director responsibilities. And that was 12 years. My son was just graduated from high school. I had just got my administrative license a couple years earlier, applied a couple times to be the assistant principal, and finally got my opportunity, you know, kind of waited around. And I felt, again, just really fortunate that, one, I could continue to stay in the district because I don't like the rain, which is, you know, weird that I'm back here, but I, you know, that's a, another story, I think, why I stayed. But being able to just kind of wait for the right opportunity and be satisfied with where I'm at, and knowing that, oh, I don't want to go to somewhere else or move or go to a different school. I just want to be at Seaside High School. And so that position ended up, you know, I had to wait for a couple other people to try it out and they weren't the right fit. And then I stepped in and now I've been doing it for 8 years. And, you know, credit to Jeff Roberts for giving me an opportunity. And I officially retired last year and then came back to work. And, you know, just all those things, all those cost things that are out there for us as we get older, and, you know, paying for medical bills and other things, you got to have insurance. So you can't just walk away from stuff anymore. And I thought, you know, I still really enjoy what I'm doing. I might as well keep doing it. So that was great.
So a little bit about history. You were taking history classes in college and then you end up being a social studies teacher for a while. Do you have a favorite period of history or story or genre? And then I want to talk a bit about teaching, because I've always been in awe of teachers of any kind, but especially history, that you can keep the attention of a classroom full of kids. I get in the museum, I get them for an hour and I get kids that are excited not to be in the classroom and on a field trip. So talk about engaging students in history, and then your own interest in history. What drives that?
Well, so teachers have a bank of knowledge. You know, in the old system, you're the sage on the stage, you come in and you talk and kids are supposed to figure it out. And that doesn't necessarily translate as nearly as well anymore, so, but you still have to come with all that energy. You just have to figure out how are you going to make the topic, the content, the standard that we're trying to get across to kids, how are we going to help them understand that today? And it's just creating not only relationships with all of your kids. And if you have a classroom of 30 kids, you have 30 different relationships, and then you have five periods. So now you've got a lot of bodies that you're trying to communicate with, but it's also making it relational. And for a long time, I taught a lot of economics. And so I would do all kinds of things that would relate what kids are either experiencing themselves or have experience with, so that they could make those connections, as opposed to me talking about macroeconomics and supply and demand and dropping a bunch of terms on them before they're ready. You got to bring it into this. Okay, all right, so Johnny showed up today with 35 Jolly Ranchers, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, I know Jolly Ranchers. And just making it relatable for students creates that excitement and that energy, I think. And it's not easy. You have to plan. Our teachers in our building spend so much time planning for every lesson to make every kid's experience exciting, and it doesn't always work. But man, when you hit that home run with your classroom, you know, it's just not a better feeling out there than knowing that kids, boy, they really got it today. They're really engaged and excited to learn. As far as my own history, I think that from a history standpoint, I'm a Lewis and Clark type of person. I really like the whole journey of Lewis and Clark. I mean, it relates so well, I think, to today's world, because you're traveling out, you don't know what's out there. They had no maps, nothing. It was just like, go and figure it out. But the stories within the story are so valuable and underwritten. The female presence in the Lewis and Clark story is so powerful, and multiple different people, that if those women aren't there to help them, they don't make it. But that gets lost, I think, sometimes in some of the history books. and in some of the stories. And it just shows to me that women are so important in what goes on in society. And yet sometimes through history, they're pushed aside. You talk about Catherine the Great, pretty important, but you know, when you're the top dog, everybody's going to listen to what you say until they get rid of you. Rex Zeke, who is an author, right? Across the River. I love his book. Just that month that Lewis and Clark spent on the river, and geography is my favorite subject. So the geography, mixing that with the history of Lewis and Clark and how they found the fort, it's a fantastic read.
Yep, absolutely.
Max, like, in his element. He's like, you're my people.
I'm feeling guilty because I'm just like, okay, Alana, you can just leave, right?
I know. Yeah, you can keep talking. We want to talk about Seaside Kids because Seaside Kids is celebrating a big milestone this year. And you're at the helm as the president, volunteer president of this organization. So tell us a little bit about it.
So Seaside Kids started in 1956 when our baseball team won the Connie Mack League tournament here, regional tournament in the Pacific Northwest, and got to go to, I want to make sure I get it right, San Bernardino. I always thought it was Bakersfield, but I'm pretty sure it's San Bernardino. And the community rallied support together, raised all this money, flew the team down on TWA, which didn't start flying until 1953. So this is 56.
Wow.
So they get on an old prop, twin prop plane, fly them down. They play in the tournament. They win. They come back. It was just big celebrations. End of August, they have money left over. What are we going to do? They created a 501c3 with the funds and then said, we are going to provide youth sports, at that time baseball, for all of our kids in our community absolutely free. It has been free for 70 years for every kid that comes through Seaside Kids to play baseball, softball, volleyball, and football. And then we also pay for kids to go swimming on when there's a school in-service day. So we pay for open swim. Any kid that wants to go can go to the pool and swim. And if you look through the historical books, there's all kinds of different activities and things that have kind of come and gone based on what kids want to do.
That's amazing.
So what's going to happen this year? What can we expect to see? And how can people learn about Seaside Kids? Because you have a great website.
Or how can they donate?
Yes. Yeah, that's there too.
So there's the SeasideKidsInc.com is our website, and you can go there to find out more information. This year, we've got two big things coming up. Because it's our 70th, we're doing a bunch of reach out to try to share our history with the community, and I think the majority of that will be at our pancake feed in late October, early November of 2026. And people will be able to come in and actually see the scrapbooks from all of the different decades through Seaside Kids. And so that's really going to be an opportunity. And then we have our new Lighthouse Field, which opened this year with a lot of help from the Tom and Mary Hirsch Foundation. And so we will have a big celebration out there in the next couple of weeks. And, it's just Seaside Kids is going to be that mainstay for our community, for kids to be involved actively and folks to know that here's a place to go mingle. Here's a place to go be a community without having a device.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. And thank you for your service to our community and for sticking around in our community and helping create healthy lives for kids and adults. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. And we'll work on the rain. So
yeah.
Thank you for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live on the web at kmun.org.
One of the easiest and most effective ways to help make sure that KMUN stays financially healthy and mission-focused is by joining the Radio Repeaters Club. Radio Repeaters are donors who choose a monthly automated donation amount, which can be set up directly through a bank account or with a credit or debit card. Find out more about becoming a Radio Repeater by visiting kmun.org and clicking on Support.